with each other. There is the cell phone or text messaging, Facebook, Skype, Twitter, email, telephone, and the old faithful mail. At some time, point in time, each of us had to have help in using them. But how do you communicate with God? In Luke chapter 11, the disciples saw and heard Jesus pray to God, the Father, so that they asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Jesus then proceeded to teach them by giving them a sample prayer for what we now know as the Lord's Prayer, or as the topic, the disciples' prayer. And it goes in Luke chapter 11, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." This morning, I want to focus on understanding the first part of this prayer. Please consider what an amazing privilege it is to pray to God. The approach to God is both personal and bold. There in heaven, the Almighty God, the God of glory, is seated on his throne with angels in presence, where cherubim and seraphim are circled around the throne, and yet a mortal can approach him and pour out their heart's request, and God will hear them. In fact, the term Father is used here is the same word as a child would use to call their earthly father as Daddy or Papa. The only people who can do this is a believer. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the scripture states, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." As we boldly enter, we also enter into his presence in reverential respect of him. That is why the term "hallowed be your name." When we come before him, he is the creator. He made the universe out of nothing. He brought it into existence with a word, and it was done. We come to him with confidence that God is loving, gracious, merciful, forgiving, and cares. He is the source of wisdom and knowledge, and that he has the resources and power to meet our requests. I might also add that he hears each individual request. If I wanted to go and speak to President Obama, I probably would not be allowed to speak to him, but would end up speaking to an aide. But here I have direct access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What a privilege. Thirdly, the object of prayer is that God will be glorified. In John chapter 14, verse 13, Jesus also stated to his disciples, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Note that in the Lord's Prayer, the word "your" is repeated rapidly three times. Your name, your kingdom, your will be done. Too often we look at prayer as a way to activate God, a way to get what we want, or a way to put God in a corner so that he fulfills our desires, dreams, and ambitions. But that's not what prayer is all about. It is not about getting what we want, but is aligning our dreams and desires and needs to his glorious purpose. Sometimes we're not mature enough to get what we request and must wait. I am reminded of my father's workshop as a boy back in Sorgheim. He had lots of tools, lots of hand tools and power tools, and varied pieces of wood to work with. I loved being in that shop. The smell of wood shavings, listening to music on the local AM radio station, and dreaming about projects that I would make. At first, I was only allowed to use hand tools, but as I matured in age and skill, I was allowed to use the electric drill, the saber saw, the band saw, and the table saw. God knows what we can handle. Prayer is true worship. It's forgetting about self, but seeking God's will. It's lifting the soul to honor and glorify God, and not bending God to my own agenda, but yielding to His agenda. It's knowing that God cares, that He is the source, and has the power to meet my needs, and will permit what is best for me.
Thank you, Fred. For announcements, we wanted to remind you that next week you get to sleep in an hour later. Again, if you weren't here when we did the pre-service announcements, if you forget to set your clock, I'm the only person you're going to see here when you first get here. Mm-hmm. So, not that you don't want to see my bright, shiny face, right? But I'm sure you probably want to see an extra hour of sleep more. I know I do. So don't forget to change your clocks. The pastor is on sabbatical until the end of November, as most of you know here. For those on the radio, my name is Tom Frascone. I'm one of the deacons, and Fred that just spoke, he's one of the deacons, and we're filling in for him while he's getting a rest, much deserved rest. He was supposed to go on a sabbatical like 7-8 years ago. So this is really good that he's finally got to be able to do this. And I